The Low Post is presented by Amazon Music. Did you know you could be listening to this episode of The Low Post ad-free on Amazon Music?
Welcome to the usual end-of-season joint podcast. Brian Windhorst of The Hoop Collective, Zach Lowe, me of The Low Post, the Denver Nuggets, the Denver freaking Nuggets of Denver, Colorado, with somebody coming out behind us who's obviously very popular, are the 2023 NBA champions. It was ugly. It was a defense-first game. Bruce Brown scored the game-winning basket. Then there were some free throws. Jimmy Butler almost did an exact repeat of Game 6 against Boston where he was like, something wrong with Jimmy Butler. And then all of a sudden, three-pointer, controversial three-shot foul that was upheld.
I'll tell you what, man.
Are the Heat going to steal this game? And then the Nuggets grinded it out at the end. A last real possession, I guess, last possession gone badly for Miami. And Brian,
bad shot.
There are some franchises where it takes a lot of the national media time to realize how good they are because of their history. It happened with the Warriors in 2013, 2014, 2015, where like the only reason people didn't realize how good they were about to be was because there were the Warriors. The Nuggets have had some success. 80s were fun. Melo was fun. But I think, like, people were slow to realize that this team was a true blue championship contender from day one. As soon as Jamal Murray got healthy, he didn't have a great game tonight. Jokic is just that dude, man.
Jokic was just that guy. A terribly inefficient game on both sides. It was an absolutely ugly game, and he still was beautiful and efficient. Somehow he was the guy. He was the shining guy who came through. Nobody could really do anything, and he did. And look, this is just a really beautifully built team. Really, if you go back to the moment they drafted him, that was kind of the beginning. It's been 8 years. They missed the playoffs his first 3 years. They had setbacks along the way with injuries to Porter Jr. and Murray, but they got nothing. No player demanded a trade here. They got no lottery luck. There was no trade that they made that, like, they stole it. Like, you know, I mean, the Aaron Gordon trade was an excellent trade, but at the time it wasn't like people were going, oh my God, that was a breathtaking trade. It was a good trade, obviously. They just built it from scratch. If you're a fan of an NBA team that has struggled, that isn't close right now, the way this team built it, and if you're not on a coast, the way this team built it is admirable. I mean, they're the first team from the Western Conference to win the championship that wasn't from California or Texas since the Sonics in 79.
And our fifth different champion in the last five seasons in the NBA. And a lot of talk, particularly surrounding the Heat's run, about how maybe because of the talent distribution, because of LeBron getting old, because the Warriors getting old and Durant leaving years ago, because of the new CBA, we're entering an age of parity maybe and ultra competition. And maybe that's true. But these guys are walking in the door next season, if they're healthy, as the favorites to win the championship again. And Nikola Jokic, 41st pick in the draft, had a promise from the Nuggets that kept him in the draft. They kept their promise. He's now the greatest draft pick bang for the buck in the history of the league, and it's not close anymore. Jamal Murray was the 7th pick, and I was talking to Nuggets people all day the last few days. They were sweating in that draft room with Chicago picking at 5. And Sacramento picking at 6, thinking, man, he's not going to fall to us. Chris Dunn, Buddy Hield, and Jamal Murray fell to them. And we can go into the other roster building moves.
I mean, the highest draft pick they had during this run was Dante Exum, isn't it right? Or no, it was Murray.
Murray 7, Exum is Utah at 4.
But they ended up with Exum, sorry. Exum played here.
And oh, I see what you mean. And, you know, they also overcame a disastrous, I think, 2017 draft day trade, where they traded out of the Donovan Mitchell pick for Trey Lyles and a 20-something pick that became Tyler Lydon. And they learned a lot from that draft. You talk to them, they learned a lot. We're looking for versatility, and they were targeting big guys who could maybe slide to the wing. And they wanted OG Anunoby in that draft. They couldn't get him. And he doesn't fit that profile I just described. And after that, Tim Connelly, who made the Jokic pick, and walked in here and said, we got to scout Europe. Europe is where it's at. And Calvin Booth, who's done a fantastic job, one of the sharpest guys I know in this business, said, if we're looking for defensive versatility Instead of looking for bigs who can slide down, we got to look for big guards who can slide up. KCP, Bruce Brown, Christian Brown. It's a beautiful team.
Yeah, you know, when Jokic, his first summer league, they were like, he could be okay. We might have a rotation player. It wasn't like he showed up and was like, oh, my God, this guy is an absolute steal. They were like, okay, he might be all right. He might be a second-round pick that makes it. They didn't foresee that. They didn't see it coming.
Well, it's like the Spurs always said with Ginobili. If we were so smart, we would have picked him in the first round instead of the second round.
Right.
Speaking of Jokic, two very, very boisterous Serbian guys handed me this Joker energy drink, one of which I have in my house in my TV background. I never actually tried it. I think now is the time. There's no chance it's going to taste good. 0% chance.
It says...
That's not bad. In the age of COVID, you can't try it now. It's now
right,
unsafe.
Yeah, I don't want it. I wouldn't have wanted it anyway.
Ooh, that'll sting your teeth.
Oh, yeah. There's a little sugar in there?
That'll leave a burn. I'm drinking it. I can't drink beer right now, so I'm going to drink the Joker energy drink.
I can smell it. It smells of sugar.
It smells of horse dung and saddles.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because of the eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes! Catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So who's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-timey chimney sweeps, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons. Watch out for them. You name it. They won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com. Sign up today. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package.
Should we talk about the end of the game, or
well,
should we not?
This game so much reminded me of the 2016 Game 7, to the point where it was almost the exact same score. But in the fourth quarter, where neither team could score, Zach, absolute warfare under the basket.
Oh, so physical.
The referees were just staring at fouls and just being like, look, we're not calling it. We're just not doing it. Which is why that call... I'll tell you what, I think the league is a little bit fortunate that the Nuggets won this game, because had the Heat taken leverage from the Jimmy Butler three-shot foul, we would have been hearing about it for 2 days, and we might have been hearing about it even more if they won in Miami. It was not the greatest moment, and I'm sure there would have been a pool report with the referees had that gone through. There was obviously a reason why they left it. There was some contact to Jimmy's leg from Aaron Gordon's groin area, I guess. That was a brutal call, a brutal, brutal call in the moment, in a moment where they were allowing hand-to-hand combat. So I am glad that that call will not be remembered, because I was worried about that, because the game was a beautiful, ugly game up until that.
Jimmy Butler, 5 of 18, 21 points because he went 9 of 11 from the line. So he had 21 points total. I'm just going to go through the end of the last 5 minutes of the game. Jokic makes a pull-up to put him up by 7, 83-76, just destroying the zone. The numbers won't show it. Every time Jokic got the ball in the zone, they got a good shot. They just missed a million threes at 5 of 28 from 3. Jimmy Butler, 24.3 point shot. Okay, that kind of came out of nowhere. KCP makes a 3. Oh, back to 7.
Wait. The KCP shot was amazing. KCP made 3 or 4 plays on the stretch of this game. I have no idea how bad his wrist injury is. I don't even know if he'd have been able to play in game six. He was playing out there with 1.5 hands, and that shot was a brutal shot. I don't remember who made the contest. The contest was all over him. His heels were almost on the sideline. That was a massive, massive shot.
Jimmy makes another three to get it back down to 4 points. Then the three-shot foul. So that's 9 of 21 points for Jimmy Butler.
Brutal.
In like a two-minute span.
He scored 13 points in a row.
Then a 10-foot pull-up jumper. Then two more free throws
Let
to put him
say,
up by one.
Coming off,
How many points is that, 13?
Those two free throws came after Kyle Lowry's.
Tips out the offensive rebound.
Kyle Lowry had a championship performance in this game. He didn't get the championship. He's already got a ring. He didn't need to prove anything to anybody, but he was brilliant in this game.
He finished 4 of 13, 0 of 5 from 2, 4 of 9 from 3.
Yeah, but it was a great performance.
12 points, 9 rebounds, 4 assists, and the kick-aheads that he gets to Heat are just like oxygen for them. And then the Bruce Brown putback is what ends up being the game-winning basket.
It's hand-to-hand combat under the rim, and Bruce Brown comes through there and gets the putback of a Jamal Murray miss. I mean, in the moment, you could just feel how big it was. When he did that, you're like, oh, my God, that's a moment for Bruce Brown's career. That putback is a moment for Bruce Brown's career.
And I felt that the Nuggets, you know, I heard Michael Malone say going into the fourth quarter, maybe we're tight, we're missing a lot of shots. I also thought maybe they were, maybe they were. It's always impossible to know, right? Are you analyzing from the result backward? No, they must be tight. But I also thought they were playing for the home run ball a lot, both like guys dribbling up into crazy threes early in the shot clock, early corner three from Aaron Gordon. In the shot clock.
I'm going to be honest with you.
And then some of the turnovers. Remember the one where they just like started falling all over the court and throwing the ball around? Like, what are you doing?
Look, I'm going to be honest with you, Zach. The Nuggets were spectacular throughout this entire run. They win 4-1. They are spectacular champions. The Heat are at home in game four in a 5-point game with Jokic on the bench with fouls, with a sprained ankle, and they're unable to finish. 8 minutes to go, 5-point game. That's a game they could have had. You know, Jokic and Murray were not having good games that night. Jokic with only 4 assists. They were 13 of 36, I think, those two. They had shut down the two-man game. That's a game that if you're going to win the finals, you have to have. This game, is a terrible Nuggets offensive game. Terrible Nuggets offensive game. And, again, if you're going to win the championship, you got to have it.
And
the Heat are going to kick themselves. I don't want to take anything away from the Nuggets, but the Heat are going to kick themselves these last two games. They could have had them.
Well, it felt as it was happening like a Heat game. Like they're going to win the turnover battle by a lot, and they did. They had to win these games. And they were going to outshoot Denver from three. They just didn't do it enough. They were 9 of 35, and they made tough threes. Like Kyle, they made a three with like out of nothing. The guy was just in his face. I thought they found something with Duncan Robinson and Bam's two-man game in the second half when the Jimmy stuff just –
I wouldn't say they found anything. I think that was a wing and a prayer the whole way.
Well,
they got a few bad. Like, this game was so, you know, the Nuggets are one of the great offensive teams in NBA history. I think they were top five in offensive.
Now we get two teams every year that are two of the top 20 teams in offensive.
And they were great throughout the whole playoffs offensively. And so for them to win the game, to win the title with defense, because their defense in the second half especially was awesome. The only way that the Heat were even able to crack them was that little Jimmy Fleury. They were all over them, their rotations. They were totally selling out. I don't know if these teams would have had anything left in game six.
It felt like it was an awesome game, and I also thought of the Warriors-Cavs game seven just because, like, you could feel the franticness of the effort.
Well, nobody could score.
Yeah, and you could feel, like, the closeouts, the rotations, the way they were chasing and trying to slow down and keep guys in front of them. It was just a frantic game. That's what you want.
And that game was 93-89, and this game was 94-89.
So the Heat broke 96 points once.
That's right. They
in
averaged,
five games.
I'd have to do the math, but they came into this game averaging 98 points in this series. Now, granted, the pace was slower, but they averaged almost 110 points against the Celtics. They averaged, you know, probably 96 or 97 in this game, and they only shot really well from three in one game. And, you know, the Nuggets get credit for that. The Nuggets played great defense last few couple games.
So, okay, one other thing I wanted to say. I think you're right, and we've all talked about it a lot, that the Jokic five-foul stretch even though tonight was so nip and tuck down the stretch, I think that goes down as the critical defining stretch of the series. And it was Jamal Murray's stretch. It was.
Yeah, you want to know why? Because they stopped double teaming him. Because Jokic came out of the game and they said, okay, we don't have to defend the two-man game. We're going to play him straight up. And he cooked him. He cooked him on that. And that was kind of odd. Also, I thought, look, Jokic is the reason they've got the trophy back in the locker room right now. Murray is secondary. I thought Michael Malone was brilliant in this series. He knew what his team needed to do after game two. He tore him down. He built him back up. He got him in a great headspace. The way their defensive intensity changed between two and three, I think, was a product of his motivation. And when Jokic had the five fouls, the lineup that he elected to put out there worked. It was a small lineup that was not what I would expect, and it worked. And those two things alone earned him his hand on that championship trophy.
I talked to a lot of people the last 72 hours about that stretch. There was a certain calm and confidence about the Nuggets. Like, I never heard anything about some big rah-rah speech in the huddle, like, this is the moment, you got to step up, these are the stakes. One, there was never any big rah-rah speech in the huddle, like, we got to step up, blah, blah. They all just knew what they had to do. Same thing, 2-2 Phoenix, they were super confident they were going to win that series. There was just like a calm about the team. And Michael Malone, Van Gundy says it every broadcast, they could have fired him, they suck with him. Like, let's get specific. They could have fired him after 16-17 when they trade Nurkic, and Nurkic kicks their ass in a late season game and basically sends them home. Says, Klib! Klib!
I don't know if you're lying.
The one and only Klib!
Oh, this is the most exciting time.
Tell people who you are.
What, Jim Klib, I'm your guy.
Well, what do you do?
You're I'm the vice president of scouting, but I'm your guy. I'm a professional, your guy. And I don't drink, but I got stuff all over me. And you do too now.
When did you first lay eyes?
Don't do that.
When did you first lay eyes on Nikola Jokic?
Rafael Uch, our international scout, did a great job identifying international guys. I don't know the date. I'm rejoicing, Wendy. I'm rejoicing.
Was it in Serbia? Where did you see him?
Serbia, and then we drafted him, and then we went and spent
I'm aware that you drafted Nikola Jokic.
And then we spent time draft. Over there. Ever seen
by the way, Klib. Klib.
Cart?
No.
We'll get that added on to your content. Is this live? This is
yeah, actually we're, live. Yeah, it.
What's up?
Hey. Good draft pick with Jokic.
Yeah, it's good.
It's good draft pick.
Great person, too.
Christian Brown. Good draft pick.
Good draft pick with Christian Brown.
That was Calvin. Calvin stamped his foot for that one.
He sure did. He said we needed a guy with championship pedigree, played 40 minutes in the national championship game, played I don't know how many minutes tonight, but he was in – like, very few rookies can play in the playoffs. Christian Brown can play in the playoffs.
Klib.
Yes.
Good draft pick, Jamal Murray.
Not bad, huh? This guy can
– You were
all homegrown. All homegrown. Built, fostered. Watered the plants and they blossomed.
Good draft pick, Michael Porter.
Michael Porter. What? There's a theme here, right? But we
how about Michael Porter's coast to coast pushes tonight? Got Jamal an open three in the corner. Like
Zach,
that.
We have a lot of weapons on our team. I'm not trying to sound trite or hackneyed, but we really do.
Hackneyed.
I dropped the word hackneyed on this little interview.
Where's the party? What are you gonna do tonight?
I'll text you. I'll text
you. Yeah, don't say that. This
Jim Klib.
That's Jim Klibanoff, the Nuggets vice president of scouting. He's in a good mood.
What just happened? I don't even know where we left off.
I don't know, but he just wiped champagne on your face.
Oh, Michael Malone. They didn't fire him then. They didn't fire him 2018 when they lost the winner-take-all finale against Minnesota. Didn't fire him 2019 when they lose to Portland at home in Game 7. Because they could tell something's happening here, and there's a resiliency and a toughness, and he's got a feel for the group.
Zach,
he knows what he can do.
You. If this team had washed out, in the playoffs?
This season?
He might have gotten fired this season.
That's absolutely true. And they didn't wash out.
Now he's a made man.
Well, let's talk about what they did. 16-4 is one of the best all-time playoff records of the last 30 or 40 years. And John Hollinger went through all of it today. There's only like a couple of teams with better records than that since the Jordan era. Their net rating ended up at +8.
I'm actually going to push off that 16-4 and say 10-1. Because they went 10-1. They went 2-2 in the second round.
Okay.
And they went 10-1 after that. You go 10-1, I mean, that's all-time stuff.
Never
there.
Trailed in a series. Only true moment of stress, really, was Game 5 against the Suns. And they won that game handily at home and then blew the doors off of them in Game 6 in Phoenix.
And by the way, like, these last two series, the Lakers played very admirably. They just outplayed them. And in this series, the Heat were outmanned and certainly didn't have the offense. But the Heat played admirably. They didn't play their best basketball. But they this wasn't, you know, I some of those, like the couple of those runs that Golden State had, 1 year they went 16-1. I don't think they faced the competition level that the Nuggets just faced.
Well, and they also just, with Durant and those three homegrown guys, there was just no chance that anyone was beating them if they were healthy. I mean, it was not fair. It was, like, not competitive.
Right, right.
One other thing on Michael Malone. He committed, his thing from day one is we got to get good enough on defense. We might not ever be great. We got to get good enough.
God, it was a rocky road.
And he demanded and demanded and demanded. And probably sometimes the players were like, dude, could you just stop yelling at us?
He ripped them.
And it worked.
How many times? And by the way, like they would sort of incrementally get better. Like they were like, I don't have it in front of me, but it feels like they were 27th. And they were like 23rd. And they were like 14th. And they climbed and they climbed and they climbed. They finally got to be a good defensive team. And they, I'm telling you, they won these last three games with defense. Their offense was not great.
And I would like
– Colin Gillespie?
Yes, absolutely.
Come on, because you know what Colin Gillespie does? He wins championships, okay?
This is Jim Klibb is back.
He wins world championships. Colin Gillespie right here. It's no fluke, okay? Look, come on, get basket of glory.
Just bring winners here, man.
This is it.
Colin is smoking a cigar.
Yeah. When we win, whatever happens.
He's used to it.
You know, when they talk about the players who we haven't seen much of yet, that we're going to see next year. They mention Colin Gillespie. They don't just mention Peyton Watson. They
Colin,
mention Colin
here's
Gillespie
what I want to know. When you guys had that film session after game two and everybody had to call somebody else out for a bad, who did you have to call out?
I didn't call anybody out. We were just talking about.
You were assigned a clip. What was your clip that you had to tell everybody about?
That we just had to play harder.
No. You can tell us now.
He's not going to answer the question. He's too smart.
Nope. I ain't giving anybody up.
You had to call out Jokic for not doing rotation. You can say it.
No, I'm not calling Nikola out.
Hey, look, you know what? You know, Nikola in an ugly game just put up a 28-16-4 on 12-of-16 shooting, and it's just effortless.
Hey, congratulations,
go,
Colin.
Go celebrate.
Go celebrate. Don't stand
all right,
with
can
us.
Can we talk about the Heat for a second?
Come on. He deserved to tell us what happened in that thing. I mean, he probably just got bonus points for Michael Malone.
He's a two-way, man. He's not giving up anything.
Okay. But the two-way guys had to call out the regulars. They had to be like Jamal,
like,
you did
I gotta,
not.
I got to do everything possible to just keep
He wasn't
my
just
foot
sucking
hold.
On that cigar. He was smoking it. He was smoking that cigar. I now have cigar smoke on me, and you have champagne.
I don't have enough champagne on me yet because I like these games. I like these closeout games. I like when the suit smells like champagne.
The Low Post fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite The Low Post episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like First Take and Pardon the Interruption ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/low. That's amazon.com/low to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Spring is the best time to add new challenges to your training just in time for summer and warmer days. It's also the best time of the year to take a new look at your fitness routine, dial it up a notch, and continue powering on. Peloton's varying class lengths were designed with your personalized training in mind. Whether you'd like to add a 10-minute core session at the end of your strength class or take a 60-minute power zone ride to increase your endurance, Peloton classes help you focus on your needs and goals. They are also made to challenge you with a variety of classes like boot camps, boxing, okay? Full body strength, marathon training, all created to grow your skills or push you to improve in what you already excel in. Peloton's expert coaches and nonstop vibes, #vibes, will push you to new levels of strength and endurance, keeping you on your toes while giving you the professional coaching you need. And with a wide variety of options, whether you prefer to run outdoors, row, or ride at home, or strength train at the gym, Peloton has something for you. Get your head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com. That's onepeloton.com.
A year ago, we were sitting in Boston, and we watched this. It was after Game 6 then, and we were, you know, looking at the Warriors and saying, "Man, amazing!" And maybe they got more in them and everything like that. And here we are, 1 year later, not quite to the day, but like 360 some days, and we're in Denver. And I don't think we would have foreseen sitting in Denver, celebrating the Nuggets. So let me ask you this. 360 some days from now, where are we going to be sitting? And who are we going
to
be talking about?
Well, we do have a whole offseason of player movement to digest.
I know. I'm not going to hold you to
but
it.
But I'm saying right now, you look at the Western Conference, tell me the team as things stand now you're picking over Denver. I don't think there is one. We could very well be sitting here again. And I think I keep saying this. This we would have been maybe not here with the confetti. I think we would have been here in the finals already had Jamal Murray not gotten hurt. They were tracking right to this moment.
When they traded for Aaron Gordon, those 8 or 10 games after he got here, they took
this
off.
This is what I mean by, like, I don't think it's surprising that we're here. They were in my inner circle of contenders before the
season.
I don't think it's surprising.
Is that they didn't play well after the All-Star break. Now, part of that was because they had a big lead on the first seed, and their incentive to play well was low. But they didn't come into the postseason blowing people's doors off. And I think that also threw some people off as well. I think they were 12-11 after the break. And, you know, they were great, but they were not like they did not look like they did earlier in the season. The way they played this last month, again, 10-1. I mean, they lost one time. I think since May 7th, lost one time.
You know what someone was telling me before the game just about the seriousness of their team? This was just a random conversation I had with someone from the Nuggets. When's the last time you saw Nikola throw, like, a fancy no-look pass? And I'm like, I don't feel like I've seen one of the fancy ones in a long time. Like, he's just making the right play calmly. The two things we should talk about are, number one, he now is on the throne of best player in the world. And I don't think certainly Giannis could have an argument. Right now, it's Jokic. And I do think we should spend a few minutes just, like, we can't just throw this Heat thing to the side and forget it happened. This was a cool thing. It was a special thing. And I know Giannis got hurt in the first game of the playoffs. I think what they did was real. And they were a legitimately threatening contender who, as you pointed out, to the bloody end tonight, made the Nuggets earn this game.
And they have draft picks at their disposal, and they potentially have tradable contracts. And I think they're going to go hunting for a star.
That's what they do.
I don't know if they'll get one. I don't know if it'll break their way. There's other teams out there interested in it, and I'm not going to sit here and tell you who it is because I'll get aggregated. But there are players that they're keeping an eye on, and they have the ability to do it, especially if the player says, send me to Miami. And if they have a little window here before the second apron kicks in where they may be able to spend a little bit of money. They have some draft picks they can trade. After the draft, they get access to their 2030 pick. They have the 18th pick in this draft. Not that that's super interesting, but I don't think they can beat all comers on a SAR trade, but if a player says send me to Miami in the next 2 weeks, they are not in the worst position of all time
And that has happened before when players have said Miami, both in free agency and in sign-in trades, and that's how Jimmy Butler is here. People are going to not bag on him, but people are going to say, well, where was the Butler who was just – all-time dominant against Milwaukee and early in the Boston series, even after the Knicks ankle thing, he had a couple of monster games against Boston. It's like, man, this is hard. Like,
I agree.
This is hard.
He'll never tell us. He'll never be honest with where he was physically. He just won't. He will never allow anybody to have that out. He was not the same offensive player after the sprained ankle. Now I'm going to say something else. He played pretty well in this series. His numbers in game four were good. He had like 28-11 in game four, like a 9-17. His numbers tonight were not. He's not going to feel good about this performance, but he still almost bailed them out. But for them to pull off an upset of the Nuggets or even to really extend the series, they did need the all-time great Butler, and he was not able to deliver. I don't think that should be an indictment on him,
no.
But that is a true statement.
And Bam, after a sensational first half, was quiet. I think he had 2 points in the second half and missed.
I mean,
they just missed everything.
I don't know how much
basket.
We want to break down this game, but in the third quarter, there was 6 or 7 possessions where the Heat had great, reasonable percentage looks. They made they just couldn't get a basket there, and it was a 10-point game. Denver called timeout. If you really want to break down the game, whatever the adjustments they made in the timeout, They scored 6 points. The Heat never got leverage again. They missed a whole bunch of shots makeable in there. And instead of going into the fourth quarter with a cushion, which was absolutely necessary, they were up by one, and they were in real trouble to try to win this game.
There is one thing we have to talk about that happened in the game. DeAndre Jordan played 3 minutes and was actually kind of good. Blocked a shot, held up on defense, and, like, it's a little thing.
Tyler Zeller played 60 seconds and
Cody,
was awful.
Cody.
Sorry, Tyler.
Sorry to all the Zellers and the Plumleys who may be listening. Like, it's a little thing. Like, he survived 3 minutes in a game they barely won when everyone was in foul trouble in the first half. And they're just – you could feel the Nuggets being like, if we could just be within, like, 8, 9, 7 at halftime, you knew they were going to play Jokic the entire second half of the game, and they could make a run, and they did, just enough.
By the way, again, to 2016, just this game, not the series, just this game, Spoelstra, an excellent coach, putting Zeller out there, Festus Ezeli vibes. With Kerr at the start of the fourth quarter.
I just don't know. He tried Love at center in the first half, which is a move I've been waiting for. That was whatever.
I'm just saying the game was a 5-point game, and he lost him 5 points in one possession, in 1 minute.
Like, I just want to give both of these teams their due, because there are going to be revisionists who just don't really believe that either team is as legit, who are going to say, A,
this team is legit.
The Heat got lucky, and B, well, no. the Nuggets played a bunch of lower seeds. And I've said all the, like, get that SHIT all the way out of here for both of these teams.
If you've listened to me at all, you know I don't stand for asterisks nonsense. This Nuggets team is awesome, bona fide, awesome champion.
And this
Heat team was excellent.
And it's not even asterisks. It's just factual. Like, the number one seed, you get an easy opponent relative to your seeding in the first round. Second round, Phoenix, tough as hell. Beat them. Beat the pants off them. Third round, LeBron and AD, bad matchup, swept them. Competitive sweep as sweeps go, swept them. And the Heat just beat all comers except this team.
I wouldn't say this was a gentleman's sweep because it was too hard fought for that, but it'll go down in the books as a gentleman's sweep. So, all right, we got to wrap this up.
Any parting thoughts on the Denver Nuggets?
Congratulations to them. They've earned every single iota of it. Their fans should enjoy it. There hasn't been a champion to win in its city in a long time. I think 2017, and that was in Oakland, and, you know, nobody actually stayed there. We are in the middle of the city now. I'll be interested to see what's going on outside this arena. I feel like it's been a long time since a team whose arena is in the middle of the city
won. I'm getting flashbacks to when Kevin Arnovitz had to drive me back from San Antonio and basically broke every traffic rule in existence to get us back to our hotel because the streets were just mobbed with people in 2014.
Well, I think that was the last. And even then, that's not really in the city.
No, that's a hike.
So this is an arena in the city. So I wonder, it is a Monday night. So I don't know. And the Avalanche just won last year. It's not like they've gone that long of a drought. But
no, you're right. And so I saw KCP for a second after the game, and his agents from Clutch are here. And they said he gets to have a parade this time. Because the Lakers won in the bubble.
Oh, there's going to be a parade probably in about 48 hours.
All right, you got to do SVP.
Thank you, Zach, for doing this. Hey, thanks to our producer, Adi Khan, who dragged himself all over the country and through many different security perimeters to do these podcasts.
Thanks to Jim Klibanoff, Colin Gillespie giving us nothing. Boo Colin Gillespie.
All he gave me was a cigar-smelling suit jacket.
And congratulations to the Denver Nuggets. A beautiful team to watch. And a deserving, tough-as-hell champion.
And we'll see where you and I are doing this 1 year from now. Maybe it's right back here. Maybe it's somewhere we couldn't even think of.
Brian Windhorst, thank you very much.
Zach Lowe, thank you.
Adi, thank you very much. We'll see you. I don't know. The draft is in like 10 days. We'll see you soon.
Thank God it's not in 2 days. That's what we're looking
for. Thanks for listening, everybody.